Gabrielle Longholtz has written a wonderful cookbook entitled America the Cookbook, a culinary road trip through the 50 states. She's included classic recipes like Parker House rolls and collard greens to guest essays and menus. Welcome to Around Cincinnati, Gabrielle. You've written a wonderful cookbook.
Thank you. It was a group effort and a lot of work and a lot of fun.
This book is amazing. It weighs around 6 pounds, 800 pages, 850 recipes. Perfect Christmas gift. How long did it take you to travel to each state, and who did you compile these recipes with?
Well, I spent 3 years working on the book, but I had actually already been to every state when I got the assignment in 2013. So it was an enormous undertaking, and I wished that I had about 50 years to work on it. But I had already been to all 50 states when I started the assignment and had been a cookbook writer and food magazine editor for a decade. And I quickly set to work putting together a big team, actually. I had recipe developers and testers and researchers in quite a few states, upstate New York, Birmingham, Alabama, Texas, Seattle, and in between. And we also invited contributions from leading chefs and food writers in every state. So it was a big group project and a lot of fun to work on.
Since I'm a cookbook collector, the first thing I did was go straight to the back of the book and start scanning the index. So before we get into the recipes, you organized the chapters in a lot of different ways. There's by state and by course. Could you talk about how you did that? Because the index is fabulous.
Well, you are the first person to start with a question about the index. So I can tell you are a serious book person. And yeah, it was tough to decide how to organize the content. And for the first 2 years that I was working on collecting the recipes and working on the manuscript, our plan was to have the book organized by state and potentially by region and within that by state. So we very much took an approach of really looking for regional, unusual, and lesser known recipes, kind of the real specialties that you get when you're in a place that you can't get elsewhere. So in the end, the editorial staff made a decision to sort it by course, which I think also works beautifully, but it maintains that, I think, reflection of the lesser known. It's not just Americana. It's not just roast chicken and macaroni and cheese.
Talking about Kentucky recipes, you included Derby pie, Kentucky burgoo, and of course the Kentucky hot brown sandwich. Tell us about some of the recipes in Kentucky.
Oh my gosh, we had so much fun researching Kentucky. Obviously, all the foods that have bourbon in them, from bourbon balls, which I'm going to be eating tonight, actually, bourbon barbecue sauce, the mint julep, of course, and burgoo, that famous hunter's stew that has a little bit of everything that you might have caught or shot or trapped. And traditionally, it always has squirrel in it, although the version that we tested, we were not able to get our hands on squirrel, but I hear that is the traditional secret ingredient.
Moving on to Ohio, there's recipes for hickory nut cake, scrambled eggs with morel mushrooms, wild pawpaw ice cream, and Cincinnati chili. When did you visit Cincinnati, and did you visit Cincinnati, and whose chili recipe did you use?
I had a great time visiting Ohio when I first got the assignment. We went through Cincinnati and Columbus, and I'll tell you my favorite thing to eat in Ohio in general was Jenny's ice cream from Jenny Britton Bauer. I don't remember which person's Cincinnati chili we used. For the first 600 recipes in the book, we really went with the straight, quintessential, not riffed version. So for each one of those, we looked at, you know, 5 or 10 versions that are the quote unquote right way, the traditional way, maybe the way your grandma would have made it. And those are not riffs. I would not want to get that hate mail. So we did not go in and put our own spin on things and add lime zest and tarragon or anything like that. And then in the back of the book, the last 200 recipes, those are contributed by chefs from every state. So for Ohio, as that example, we have Mike Anthony, who's a Ohio son and was voted Best Chef in America by the James Beard Foundation a few years ago. He's in the kitchens at Gramercy Tavern in New York. and is just an incredible human being who I had the pleasure of getting to know in New York, and I've met his parents, and I know he loves Ohio forever. So we got a couple chef-y riffs from him on, I believe, a corn soup and Buckeye candies, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was chilled corn soup with coconut milk, which sounds real interesting.
That's right. Yes, that's such a Mike thing to do. I know he cooked in Japan for a while and had traveled through Asia, and that's exactly the kind of chef-y riff I mean, where someone takes a traditional American dish, some of these chefs, and do a kind of elevated or international spin on it.
And Indiana, you included Indiana wild mushrooms, marinated slow-roasted watermelon, venison stew, and wild rice, and wild nanny berry butter. What's nanny berry butter?
Oh, I had so much fun on those foraged recipes. So I worked with an incredible forager named Marie Villune, and through her, she researched for me 50 recipes for real wild food. So everything from nanny berry, a wild berry that I think was prized by the Native Americans. And she also found things for cactus fruits and deep roots and chickweed and pokeweed and all sorts of interesting things, many of which I actually got to taste with her. So those are lesser known, and they're certainly a much smaller part of the book, but they grow wild from coast to coast, and I've certainly enjoyed having my eyes open to them.
Well, I found it interesting that there's sections in the book for dairy-free recipes, the South, gluten-free recipes, and here's a good one, less than 5 ingredients recipes.
Right.
You must have had fun organizing this cookbook.
Yes, the organization alone was kind of its own job. But we really do want this to be a book that people cook from. I think it's a lot of fun to read. And as I mentioned, there are 50 essays in the book. I was just thrilled by the people who came forward and wanted to write about their home state. Everyone from Jonathan Gold in California to Adam Gopnik on staff at The New Yorker, and so many big, interesting minds in between who wanted to write about the foods of their home state. But for the recipes themselves, we really wanted it to be a book that's fun to read, but also a book to really take into the kitchen and cook from. And sometimes you want a recipe that's quick and only has a few ingredients.
I love the guest essay by Brent Cunningham in the West Virginia chapter with a story of soup, beans, and cornbread, which is like going down to my grandma's. But I wish you included his recipes for it, though.
I know. There were a couple where somebody kind of really waxed rhapsodic about a particular cornbread or North Carolina seafood. And I think in the next edition, we'll have to, 850 recipes simply wasn't enough. I think we'll need to add a few more.
You're right. This is a great cookbook, and it's got simple recipes, simple ingredients, easy to use. Love the way you lined it up. It's a perfect cookbook. So thanks.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it was really interesting to kind of think about the question, what is American food? I mean, I came to the book thinking, okay, I'm a food writer. I've been to every state. I know a lot about this, but my eyes were just so opened over the course of the research. One thing in particular was, you know, my editor and I wanted to include quote unquote ethnic food, melting pot food, because people love to go out for Mexican food and Pad Thai and Vietnamese food. But, you know, I think of those as foods that people across America now get all the time. But in looking back at the foods that we think of as really classic Americana traditional dishes, typical dishes, so many of those have been brought by immigrants over the generations. I mean, even something as quintessential as the hamburger and hot dog are from Germany, are from Hamburg and Frankfurt. And of course, the Germans brought beer. And we talk about something being as American as apple pie, but apples themselves didn't grow here. They're originally native to Afghanistan. And even right up to things like spaghetti and meatballs and pizza, which are on every single kid menu in America, those were not really known here, even in the early 1900s. So those were brought by Italian immigrants, like my grandfather and great-grandfather. So it just really opened my eyes to the fact that we are a big nation of immigrants. I certainly love corn, beans, and squash and some of the other native foods we were talking about a moment ago, but so many of the dishes that are at the core of our national menu have been brought here. People have been bringing their ingredients and recipes here for centuries.
Thanks for sharing America the Cookbook with us tonight, and have a great holiday season.
Thank you so much.
For any cookbook collector or home cook, this cookbook by Gabrielle Langholtz, America the Cookbook. a culinary road trip through the 50 states, is a must-have addition to their library. You'll find a link to America the Cookbook at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.
I'm Georgella Lyon. I'm a poet, and this is called Radio Noel. Sitting on the gray-green living room rug, so close to the gold-flecked speaker of the wooden Crosley that I can rest my nose on it, I am five and listening to the velvet voice of the cinnamon bear telling his stories full of holly and Santa, chocolate and taffeta, baby Jesus, doll's eyelashes, and the great and guiding star.